This is the Criterion Podcast. Hey guys, just a quick few announcements before we get into the episode. The music department is having a handful of upcoming events here tomorrow, actually, if you're listening to this on the day of the release. They're having a guest speaker coming by. He is a pretty big deal, an Adventist composer, and he is coming to the La Sierra University Church on March 9 at 7 p.m. That's this Friday. Also, the Wind Ensemble is having a performance before they head off to their trip this Saturday, March 10 at 7 p.m. Just one more quick announcement. There's going to be an exciting drama performance at Matheson Hall this Sunday, March 11. It is entitled Festival of 1X. You don't want to miss it. If you guys want to catch upcoming events and you need a quick link to the OrgSync calendar, feel free to head over to CriterionNow.com and click on the newsletter section where you will find the link to the calendar. Today we have the honor of speaking with Anthony Leon, who is a well-known vocalist and student here at La Sierra University. We chatted up and talk about many aspects of his vocal career thus far. I am super excited for you guys to hear this chat. It was more casual than anything, and I hope you find value from it because he drops a lot of insights. So, without further ado, please enjoy this episode.
All right.
Is that better?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Okay.
All right, we're recording. All right, guys. So, this is something different, but every episode is going to be different. So, I hope you guys are enjoying this thing. And, audio listeners, we just switched our set. We moved into the other room because people are, what are they doing out there, Anthony?
They're trimming the trees, you know? They're making the campus look pretty, you know?
Yeah. But we are going to go strong and carry on. You were talking about your journey in starting in singing. Do you want to maybe elaborate more on that and then just jump right back into it?
Sure. Like I said, I mean, I grew up playing piano, and I mean, since the age of 4, you know, I've been playing piano, and since 11, I've been playing the saxophone. But I started singing when I was like basically fresh out of the womb, you know, like because I grew up in a family that it was very musical. I mean, my mom's brothers, she has 4 brothers. They're all doctors or psychologists, but at the same time, they're all operatic tenors. And so, and also my dad is a tenor, and my mom is a soprano. They all love all that kind of music. And my dad's family is super musical. I mean, we mentioned Dr. Rodriguez is my great uncle. He's my dad's uncle, even though they're the same age. Funny story there. Oh, but wow. But I grew up listening to, I mean, in an environment where the 3 tenors was, I would be play the laser discs of 3 tenors at home, or, you know, I'd listen to the recordings of Luciano Pavarotti and Facil Domingo and Jose Carreras and all these amazing singers and tenors, you know. And so then I mean, and Andrea Bocelli and all this stuff, you know. So when I was a kid, I used to, like, by the time I was 2 or 3, I knew all the lyrics for La Donna Mobile and, like, all these famous Italian arias. I would sing them wherever I went. And I'd get, like, in family get-togethers, I'd get up, and I was like, cool, this is a limelight. This is my time. Oh, so I'd go up, and then I'd stand up in front of them, and I'd close my eyes, like Andrea Bocelli, pretend to be blind, and start singing La Donna Mobile as I, like, pretending to be blind and, like, trying to sing. It's so funny.
So you were kind of like born to be a tenor, huh? All that family.
I didn't have a choice, man. I didn't have a choice.
For some of the people that aren't really aware of, like, the musical terms and stuff, what can you break down what a tenor is and, like, what you know, what role they play in the singing space?
Sure. I mean, You know, and in like a choir, in a choir setting, is probably easier to talk about.
Right.
The voice is like, you know, when you get into choir, you audition, you know, you sing la 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 la, and mm-hmm. the director's like, okay, let's go lower, let's go higher, let's see what voice you are. And that's a kind of a controversial subject amongst a lot of singers.
Yeah.
In the singing world, it's like putting a label on someone's voice sometimes doesn't always work.
Oh,
but
do you think it's like based on the singer himself, or I mean, yeah.
I mean, it depends. I mean, like for me, I'm a tenor. Like there's no doubt.
Oh, I see.
I'm a tenor. You know, I mean, my range is a tenor range. No doubt about it. But other people have, you know. I'm going to get really into really complicated singing terms right now, but but you know you have range, right? How your lowest note to your highest note, right? And that's your range, but your tessitura, that's the Italian word for like the part of your voice you feel most comfortable singing in.
Oh,
and it doesn't mean exactly whether your range, you know, because a lot of people could have big ranges. Like a lot of people could have really big high notes and still be a baritone, which is like a lower male voice, you know.
Yeah.
In choir, you have the highest voice being sopranos, and then come the altos, and then the tenors, and the basses. Or you know, you can split basses up into two categories: the really low basses sing these low notes, and then there's the baritones, which are most guys are around baritone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like the most common voice type for males is like a baritone voice. And I happen to be a tenor that, you know, I have a higher male voice, you know, although, and then I could talk for hours probably about the different voice types and the different repertoire.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, that's something that's a really big topic in the singing world. But, it depends on the singer, where it really, you know, on your voice, what God gave you when you were born, you know?
Yeah. When you started to develop the type of vocalist you are, can you maybe run through like the processes of like your practices when you were young or like just how that happened to progress your skill set?
Well, like I said, I was singing since I was like a little kid, but by the time I was like 3 or 4, I kind of stopped. And I don't really know why. I guess I felt like I didn't really want like all the attention it was bringing me at the time. Because I would, you know, at the time it was kind of like a crazy freak of nature thing to have like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old sing an Italian aria, right?
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
So people would like really, like people were, you know, they would gather around me in the mall. I'd just start singing out of nowhere, and the people would just there'd be a crowd of people. And my grandpa tells a story of how that happened one time, and he would step back, and then he was like, "I don't know the guy. Like, I don't know the kid. Whose kid is that? I don't know." But I guess I didn't like the attention after a while, and I was like, "You know what? I'm not ready for this, but one day I will be." And when I started like a little older, like in high school, maybe junior high, even, I would listen a lot. I think I've always listened a lot to that kind of music. I've always fascinated me. Just the music just calls me to it. You know, I have like this draw to the music. And so then it inspired me to keep listening and practicing. I mean, when I was in junior high and high school, I was a closet shower singer, you know. I would go in the closet and late at night, I would say I'm studying, you know, Mom, I'm going to go study, you know, no studying be done, you know, and it's still to this day, as very little studying happens, but, I would go in my closet where everybody was sleeping so that I wouldn't make any much noise, you know, and I'd go in there and I'd play a video or a recording of the greats, you know, like Luciano Pavarotti or Andrea Bocelli, and I'd try to imitate them. And I would, with my voice, I'd practice, try to imitate them, you know, like listen. I would listen so closely to every little thing they did. I could, and you know, and now I think that's one of the greatest things that I've done for my singing career is not the practice, it's not the roles or anything like that. It's all the listening I've done. I think that's what's really helped me the most out of everything, because now I have tuned my ears to little things that have really helped me, you know, and I kind of learned that on my own. There's not really anybody that teaches you that, you know?
Yeah. So who was it that introduced you to the genre of opera? I mean, if you would call it a genre, but you know, like that type of music, the style of opera singing, are these individuals that you're talking about, like who was it that kind of put that into your life?
Right. Well, like I said before, like I kind of grew up in that environment, you know, like my family was always listening to that kind of stuff. And as a kid, you know, we'd put on those fantastic videos of all those great singers, and like the Three Tenors. I remember watching the Three Tenors for the first time, and I would watch it day after day, every day, all the time. Wow. Over and over again. And I think it's just, I just caught on to it, just really, it just grasped my attention since then. And I've just never really let go of it. I remember I've always liked that kind of music. I mean, I remember going on iTunes and looking for songs by the Three Tenors, or Pavarotti or Domingo or whatever, all these people. And I don't remember a time when I'd never listened to that music. I've always been listening to that music.
Yeah.
And so it's like a really big part of me. But I grew up with a lot of different music too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like all kinds of music. It's not just that music. And I love to play all kinds of music too, but I don't know, it was something about that kind of music. And I knew that, I don't know, I had this feeling, and I knew that one day I was going to be good at that kind of music.
Mm.
I don't know. I felt like I had a talent, like a calling to that kind of thing. And, you know, it turned out.
So that brings us to the opera that you guys are doing right now, the Magical Flute.
Yeah.
And I think that's really awesome. And it's an interesting thing. What goes on in the process of developing those types of performances? Like, what's your workload like?
Well, yeah, like you said, we're doing the Magic Flute at here at school at HMA. We just finished our first weekend. It went great. I mean, there's a lot of people that turned out, so that was nice. It's an opera by Mozart, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who, you know, everyone knows Mozart. You know, he's right. he's a household name still to this day. You know, Mozart was famous when he lived, was famous when he died, and he's still famous today. So that's kind of special to be able to do an opera that's his music, you know. But it's a lot of work, you know. It's a lot of work. Mm. It's a lot of work to do a production like that and to learn that kind of music, because it requires a lot of dedication, you know. And you know, being a college kid, you know, being a college student and trying to pass, you know, science in the future, you know, trying to pass math, and at the same time. You know, studying these scores and studying this music, you know, we're singing the whole thing in German, you know, so it's like at the same time learning a new language almost, so you could sing it, you know, learning the blocking, learning a ton of things. And then you have to research it, you know, I mean, then you have to know what you're singing about, you know, or you have to know about, I mean, you can't, it's the thing about this kind of music is that it's so deep. There's so many things that went into this kind of thing, you know, that you would never know. And it definitely affects your performance, because it's just so deep. And if you know what it was about, you know, like Magic Flute was basically Mozart's last opera. He died 9 weeks after he premiered it. And most people don't know. I mean, most people wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's something really monumental, because this is something in Mozart's late life, when he was depressed and without any money, and he was like looking in. That's why the opera's like so spiritual. It's like it's not common for Mozart repertoire. And that's kind of thing, the little things that you have to research. And so doing all this while trying to pass college and stuff like that's a lot. I mean, I'm taking, I think it's 21 units.
Oh wow.
22 units or something. I forget. I'm always doing something crazy like that. But and then on top of that, I do chamber singers and the chorale over here and the big band.
Wow.
So it's a lot, but you know.
How has it felt sharing this performance with the audience?
You know, it's been really fun. I really love playing Tamino, who's my role. He's the prince, which is like the principal role in the opera. It's been super fun. Because the opera is funny. It's kind of it's quirky. It's not like a very serious. You know, you hear about when you think opera, you think of these dramatic Italian stories or these German, you know, huge like very serious dramatic things with this fat lady with the Viking horns on, and you know all this stuff. But it's not all like that. You know, this opera is lighthearted. It's quirky and it's fun. It's just fun running around the stage playing a magic flute. You know. And, you know, running from a snake. And it's like it's a fairy tale opera. So a lot of crazy things happen in the opera that no one expects, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun. It's been pretty fun. The audience reacts well. It's always nice to hear an applause or a laugh or something. It's you feel like, you know, that's the moment. Gratitude, you know, for you. And just like the feeling like, you know what I'm doing, you know, it's great, you know? Mm. I mean, you sing for the audience, but you also, if you really love it, you really sing for yourself, you know? And to hear that other people are joining in on your parade is like, oh, this is awesome, you know? Because I don't really sing for the audience per se, although that's, you know, I do. I love having an audience and it's nothing like having applause, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's because it's more like they're joining my...
Like, that's important. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Like my... Yeah. They're jumping on my wagon instead of me trying to, like... reach something, you know what I mean? Instead of me trying to reach them, they're joining me, kind of. That's the feeling.
Do you feel like that's an important aspect to performing? Like, do you think that, like, important, the way that you think about it, your mindset when going into these performances, do you have like any advice to maybe vocalists that are stepping into this type of thing?
Right. Well, I mean, how you think of your philosophy of your art is one of the biggest things of art. You know, one of the biggest things that draws art is creativity. It's a worldview. It's philosophy. It's your personality, you know, and how you view when you go on stage is, you know, could be a night or day kind of thing. You know, I mean, when someone goes on the stage with the attitude like, you know, I'm great, you know, I'm great, I'm here because people love me and applause for me and you're always doing these extra things, you know, people, I think sometimes, at least for me, I can tell in the audience where I'm like, oh, this person is, it's not natural what they're doing. This is something that is forced. I feel like I'm being forced upon, something's being forced upon me as an audience member. And that's, you know, people don't like that, you know, you have to go on the stage with the certain humility. I mean, it's almost like it's almost contrary to being humble to talk about humility. But you have to go on stage to feeling like in a humble place to say, you know, because you're really nothing. You know, you're somebody who is developing their talent for themselves, basically. But people just happen to like listening to you also. You know, I believe that, you know, every talent is a God-given thing. And it's our responsibility to use it and to give it back to the world because that's where we have it. The purpose of life is to find your gift, but the meaning of life is using your gift. And so... you find meaning in just singing anywhere. Mm. It doesn't matter where, you know, but it's, you know, it does feel good to be on stage and have an audience stand up and a round of applause and roars and, you know, all that. I mean, it feels, and there's nothing like that. It's like a drug, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you deserve it because after all that hard work you put into learning the songs and doing the you know, translations and understanding the background of these performances, that's actually really amazing. I feel like the mindset of being humble, or first off, I feel like you have that mindset set down, but do you feel like it was a process of growing into that type of thinking, or was it something that you always had in heart?
Well, I mean, I've always liked, I'm an outgoing person. I like, you know, when there's a spotlight, I'm not afraid to jump in it. But at the same time, I just do music because I love music. I sing this kind of music because I feel like I have to sing it. I just, in me, I just have to do it. It's like taking a fish out of water and trying to make it walk. You know, this fish has to swim. That's what I feel like with this music. Like, I have to just sing this music. It's just natural for me. And I don't think about whether or not people really like me or like my voice or, I mean, I'm so grateful for them afterwards. Yeah. They're like, oh, I love your voice. And, oh, thank you for this and thank you for that. And that, I love that, you know. Of course, it feels great, you know. But I'm never satisfied with myself, you know. I'm always just trying to beat myself yesterday. Today in the practice room, if I'm going to practice today, I want to do it better than I did yesterday. And that's the best satisfaction I get. Not really what...
How's that in performances? Do you try to outdo yourself in the performance before? Is it a similar
thing? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's the biggest thing, maybe, that I'm trying to beat my last performance when I'm on stage. And if I could beat my last performance, then I'm like, yes, then I feel good. I knew I killed it. I knew that was like, that's good. That's progress for me. And if people like it, you know, they're going to, and then that's even more like, you know, support for what you're doing. But it's about just, you know, progressing yourself, at least for me, you know. And that's the thing about the musician. We're in this constant dark black hole that of never satisfied with yourself. But that's what, I guess, brings good progress too, you know.
Yeah.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.